Words to Mouth, show number 32, February 26, 2008. Today, Kate Jacobs, author of The Friday Night Knitting Club. Welcome to Words to Mouth, an author interview talk show where readers meet authors beyond the printed page. I am your host, Carrie, and I produce this show to introduce you to authors and the books they write. This show is a companion to my blog website at wordstomouth.com. That's words with an S, T-O, mouth.com. So check it out and send me an email to enter a drawing to win one of Kate's books. Kate Jacobs is a native Canadian who earned her master's at NYU and later worked at various magazines such as Redbook, Working Woman, and Family Life. And she later was a freelance writer and editor for Lifetime Television's website. As a newcomer to New York, she learned the power of building a surrogate family and stitching together friendship connections that will endure. Exploring the richness of women's relationships is a key focus to her first novel, The Friday Night Knitting Club. Kate, welcome to Words to Mouth.
Thank you so much, Carrie. This is great.
I wanted to get right into speaking with you about the book. I'm wondering if you might share with us how you came to write The Friday Night Knitting Club and a little bit about the process, including getting this first wonderful book published.
Well, you know, I always wanted to write fiction. That actually predates everything I've ever done. But when I was growing up and told my parents, probably when I was about 10, I think, that I wanted to be a writer, and I'd written all these little stories and forced my family to listen to them, my parents, who were both very practical, told me that all writers starve to death. So I took this very seriously. In fact, I didn't want to starve to death. I thought, what could I do as I grow up? And this is how I came to the idea of journalism, and this is how my background in women's magazines came about, because, of course, in journalism, you are paid to write stories.
Right.
So this was a great thing. And, you know, I started at Redbook and worked at a variety of women's magazines and freelance writing and editing. And then sort of, you know, as I started writing on this book, you know, things all sort of came together. It, in fact, sold early on in what's known as a partial. So the book wasn't completed. It was partially done. Uh-huh. And certainly there were publishing houses that passed on it, but this is part of the process of all publishing. Magazine publishing or book publishing is that you have to get used to people rejecting things.
Right.
And hope that it's going to land on the desk of someone who believes in it, whether it's you're pitching an article or, you know, you're pitching a book. And in this case, my publisher, Putnam, you know, it landed on the right desk, and I worked with a great team of people, a great editor, Rachel Kahn at Putnam, and, you know, that's been a wonderful experience.
I really enjoyed it. I think that you're a very gifted writer and really pull in everyday things that we can relate to into your writing, so I just really enjoyed it. Can you give us a brief overview of the book without giving too much away?
Absolutely. The Friday Night Knitting Club is a book about friendship, really, at its heart. You don't have to be a knitter to read the book. You know, if you are a knitter, you can see that knitting works as a metaphor in the story. Because knitting, when you make a mistake, you can literally pull the stitches off the needle, go to the last perfect stitch, and start again. You know, it's the ultimate do-over. You can have a perfect piece when you knit. And in life, I think all of us have regrets. We've made different decisions and choices, some of which we regret. And all of the characters in the book, you know, starting with Georgia Walker, the main character, who's a single mom raising her young daughter, Dakota, and running a yarn shop in Manhattan's Upper West Side, to the other women of the Friday Night Knitting Club, they've all made decisions and choices and have these regrets, and they're looking for some second chances and some opportunities. So it really is a book about forgiveness. I think it's a book about hope, and it's a book about having a support network in your life, how important it is when you find true friends to cherish them and to, you know, make that relationship a priority.
Well, and I don't know if I have mentioned this to you via email, but I am a part of a group called The Divas. We've been friends for about 10 years, and we kind of took our friendship to the airwaves in a podcast. It's an interview talk show called The DivaCast. And I really related to this book because it's so much in line with what we do in trying to encourage women to form these female friendships because, you know, people just don't know how much that means. You know, you can grow up and you can get married. Those female friendships just make a world of difference in your life. And that's what I really thought was wonderful about this book. Is there really a Friday Night Knitting Club?
Well, you know, first of all, I love this group of divas you have. This is fantastic. I completely agree. Having a friendship group is so significant. And as we get older, it gets harder to make friends, it feels like. I mean, I think that's a common experience that we all have. You know, it was sort of easier when we were in school. The Friday Night Knitting Club isn't real in the sense that, you know, these characters exist as individuals and there really is a Friday Night Knitting Club, as described in the book. Though I'll tell you, when I go around and I meet readers, I've heard of so many different knitting clubs and other groups, and in fact, many that are, you know, Friday Night Knitting Clubs or meet on Friday nights and many other nights as well, of course. In my own life, I have two groups of friends that are tremendously significant to me. The first are the girls I met in first grade. And, you know, there's a group of six of us, and we became fast friends. And I'm 34 now. We are all still friends. I was just talking to one of them yesterday. And it is just wonderful. We have both a group dynamic and individual friendships, but still very, very close. I mean, we have this wonderful shorthand with each other because we have gone through all the awkward phases and stages and right. ups and downs. So that is something very special. The other group of women, again, really significant to me, are the women I met in New York shortly after I arrived there. I went to NYU to go to grad school, and I came from a really small town in Western Canada. And even after going to college in a larger city, I was not prepared for living in sort of a bustling metropolis like Manhattan. I really wasn't very overwhelmed by that experience. You know, it's true, the small town kid, fish out of water, that was me.
Right.
And when I started at Red Book Magazine, I met a very eclectic, very interesting group of young women. Not just from editorial, but, you know, from production and design. And, you know, we all started spending time together. Now it's more than 10 years since we started working together. And, you know, we are in different parts of the country. We are all doing different things, in fact. But what we did is we transitioned quite quickly, really, from work colleagues to true friends. And a few times a year we get together, we have these girls' weekends. And it's just a wonderful time to sort of sit down over, you know, some meals we cook together, and we just really share with each other and in our lives. Mm-hmm. And it is just wonderful to have this group dynamic. You know, I think of these friendships as a web where we catch each other when we fall and we bounce each other back up. And we're also there to cheer each other on. I think women need that. And I think you're exactly right in that, you know, when you're married or you're busy with your career or, you know, the combination of these things, it can be very easy to feel like you're too busy to catch up with your girlfriends. But in fact, that can be, in many ways, your salvation. It keeps you sane. So, you know, these are just some things I wanted to explore, and I was really thinking very much about how important these women are in my own life.
Well, and I noticed that when I was in my early 30s that you get into these dynamics when you get married, and I have two daughters, but when they're very young, there was this whole competitive type of dynamic going on, and I you know, you encounter that in work also, and that was the whole premise for me. I was the one that really it's kind of strange in a way, but I initiated this group called the Divas because I was looking for those deeper friendships. I love that you say, you know, that web that grabs you when you fall, because sometimes you just feel like you're out here on your own, especially when you have young babies and you don't know what the heck you're doing. To have that friend there to help you, it's sort of, when I was reading that and looking at the traditional background of knitting, I mean, it goes back.
Well, right, absolutely.
Right.
No, it's so true. You know, knitting actually is this really old-fashioned craft that now women are taking up these days. You know, I, as a kid, as a young woman, as a teen, and in my 20s, I didn't have any interest in these things, in fact. I really rejected all of these things, as did most of my friends. You know, what we laugh about now is we can have these conversations in between talking about, you know, all sorts of emotional things. We have these very intense conversations about what we're making for dinner, and we are quite interested, you know. And, you know, many of my friends knit, and I have a friend who just joined Scrapbooking Club,
right.
And we were laughing at how our teen selves, you know, what would they think of this? They would be shocked and
right.
grinned, you know, how dare you do these things? And yet, again, you know, whether it's cooking club, book club, knitting club, scrapbooking club, a lot of this is about community and connection, coming together, you know, with women, and, you know, how it really is, it's so significant to have this. I mean, you can get so, so busy, and you're right. I mean, when you're young, you are really focused on your career and moving forward. And as you get older, I mean, and not that we're all so old, I mean, you know, my mom still feels, you know, as young as ever, as she always says, you never age in your
right.
heart, she says.
Right.
But you begin to understand, you have a more nuanced view of life, and you begin to understand it is the relationships that matter. That's what matters most. That's what's significant in life. Everything else is peripheral.
Well, and those different groups, whether, like you say, whether it's a book club or scrapbooking, or, you know, around here they do this really basic game called Bunko or Pekino, and that's just, like you say, it's really just an opportunity to get together. And so many times, like I said before, women get competitive. What I liked in your book, I think it was on page 143, when the group starts to play Truth or Dare. To me, I've been in some of these situations with my divas, or I've got another group of girlfriends from college. I think it's awesome that you go all the way back to first grade. That history is really incredible. But just in that part of the book, when they start to kind of challenge each other, it's kind of tough, but and they kind of open up and work through some of those rough moments. Like just in marriage, when you have those hard times, but you work through them and have those stronger relationships for it. So many times with girlfriends, you know, you can get to those rough spots and you can just walk away and not deal with some of your stuff. And so these friendships that are so strong like this really help you kind of, I don't know, refine yourself, I guess I should say.
Yeah. No, I think they do. I think it's important too that, you know, we do challenge each other in a way. I mean, you know, sometimes when you're talking with your friends, all you want is to vent, right? Don't we all have that experience?
Right,
you just want
someone
to listen. And other times you need someone to call you on your stuff.
Right.
To say, hey, you're going overboard, or you're not looking at this the right way. You know, in those moments, you know, you can feel a bit of that friction, but it's good. And in the Friday Night Knitting Club, the characters do provide that sort of get over yourself reality check, which they need. And, you know, I tried very much for all of the characters to be real in the sense that they have flaws.
Right.
And I think that's very important because we're all flawed. I mean, you know, I wanted them to be real and not be very perfect because, well, I'm certainly not perfect. And most of the people I know, even though I love them, they're not perfect.
We all, that's what I was getting at before, is we all try in the beginning to put off that persona that we are perfect. And what's neat is when you let down that guard and you show your sides that aren't, then people feel, you know, relaxed enough to reveal their own stuff. And that's when you get the deeper relationships. I thought that the part of the book when they go to Scotland and speak with Gran, that was one of my favorite parts because the women really, she really encouraged them to put their stuff out there. I think it was Kat and Georgia that were, you know, finally putting their stuff out there and, you know, definitely stronger after the fact. Is there a Gran in your life? Is that...
Well, there was a Gran in my life. You know, my grandmother, whom we called Nanny, and often they call the character Granny, which rhymes with Nanny, which is no coincidence, certainly.
Right.
Nanny passed away when I was 25, but she lived to be 99.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
She had quite a life. I mean, she saw so many things. You know, when she began her life, I mean, she was born on a farm, and her family moved from Minnesota to the Canadian prairie, in fact. And they lived in a sod house. I mean, she had a very authentic pioneer experience and then lived through, you know, the 20th century and just had a really amazing, you know, just everything she saw. I remember I did a report in third grade on my grandmother, you know, and her life experiences. And she would say, well, why are you writing about me, you know?
Right.
And yet she had so much to teach and tell. And one of the things we would do, I spent a lot of time in my summers with her, and we'd pick fruit off her fruit trees, and she would make pies, and, you know, then we would all sit around the kitchen table playing cards, and she would talk about all sorts of things. And, you know, as I became older, and you know, I'm the youngest grandchild of the family, and so as everyone became older, she talked about everything, you know, life, love, relationships, men, work. And I learned a lot. I absorbed a lot from her, and maybe didn't realize how much until I was writing the book, and you know, it was sort of coming through my fingers. And people who knew her said, oh, you know, Gran reminds me so much of Nanny. And, you know, I would go back and reread and realize, of course, you know, as a writer, you pour bits and pieces of yourself, of your life, of people you know, of complete fiction. It all comes together, and you're not always conscious of what you're putting in a book, too. I mean, there's that as well, because it can be very organic. So it very much is, I think, honoring my relationship with my grandmother. And, you know, she really loved the idea that I went to New York. When I arrived in New York, I really wanted to leave. I was very overwhelmed, as I've said, and I just wanted to bail. I wanted to head back to Canada and enough of this. And, you know, she used to tell me, well, this is a grand adventure, and these are the kinds of opportunities she never would have dreamed of, and she certainly never had. And that really helped me stay there. So it's kind of special to, you know, write a book about a New York experience and sort of sneak these little bits of her into it, because, you know, when Georgia Walker, the main character, is visiting her grandmother, and she's there with her former best friend from high school, Kat, and, you know, they're sitting down with her grandmother. At one point, her grandmother, you know, says, get over yourself, get over your resentments and issues, because this is just holding you back. And that's good advice, I think, you know.
I know, I love that. And, you know, so many people, especially, you know, when she's talking about her mother, I mean, how many women get stuck in those places where they're blaming somebody from their past, whether it's a parent or whether it's somebody that, you know, harmed them in some other way, you know, and focusing on that negativity. But it was just great advice. It was great advice to read. So, and it is neat to see, you know, you're right, when people write that you are revealing a part of yourself in your characters. I mean, a lot of times people will say, well, who's this, you know, who's this character and who's that character? And you're right, it's part of you probably in every one of those characters. So that's neat.
It really can be. And so that's a funny thing. I mean, you know, some of the characters, you know, people meet me and I'll chat about, you know, different things, and they'll recognize, they'll say, oh, well, that's just like this character. You know, for example, when I was a teenager and had no interest in anything domestic and was very vocal about it with my mother, is very reminiscent of the character of Darwin, who's a PhD student, very suspicious of this entire knitting trend and, you know, the popularity of domestic arts, this type of thing. And, you know, sometimes I refer to that as sort of my 15-year-old feminist self, and Darwin really channels that, you know, but Darwin makes a lot of choices and mistakes, and it doesn't mean that I've made all of those myself. So when people read the book, they'll know what I'm talking about, but I have people who come up and whisper in my ear and say, well, did you do? Well, no, because, you know, I mean, it's not an autobiography in any way whatsoever. But, you know, as a writer, you don't exist in a vacuum. I mean, your joys and sorrows go into the story, and your experiences with people or what you hear from people, you take it all in, and it swirls around, and then, you know, things come out. Because we are all, each of us, whatever we do, affected by the experiences we have and the people we meet in life. I mean, it makes it a very, you know, dynamic process, and we learn from them. You know, we learn from them. So the same way that I learned from my grandmother, and she, by the way, was a fantastic knitter. She was amazing.
Well, and that's, you know, that's what probably makes your book so relatable, because you do put that everyday real life dynamic into the book. You and I connected on, I think we connected on Gather online, and I was wondering how you think the internet adds to building these women friendships. I don't know if you're real familiar with a lot of the podcasts that are out there, but they're, you know, I realize you are familiar with the different social networks, but have you listened to many podcasts before?
I've listened to a few podcasts. You know, I'm busier now, and you know this because you and I were going back and forth over schedule where, you know, you're busy and I'm busy, and I'm busier now than ever, which is interesting because, you know, a few months ago I said to my mom, I'm busier now than ever, and now I'm even busier, which is great. You know, it's really good when a book resonates with readers. Yes. I get a lot of email from readers. I try to answer as much of it as possible. And the internet, though, has been huge in two ways. One way, it's really helped the Friday Night Knitting Club become successful, get into the hands of readers, because a lot of bloggers adopted the book and read it and wrote about it. This made a huge impact. I mean, it's so significant. So in that way, it had a really direct impact on this book, which is neat because it's a book about community, you know, and being adopted sort of by a blogging, you know, community, also by the knitting community. A lot of support there. A lot of that was online as well. Now, from a purely social aspect, nothing to do with books whatsoever. Many of my friends are, you know, really busy with various social networking sites, connecting with all the people we went to high school and college with, which is, they're having a lot of fun with it. It's really fascinating. It bridges this gap, you know. Now there's this lack of self-consciousness. If you reach out to someone you knew 20 years ago and you liked them but you lost touch, I mean, not everyone loves handwritten letters, sure. But there seems to be something so very formal and serious about that, in a way that shooting someone an email when you meet them off one of these sites, you know, you can renew an acquaintance and maybe build a friendship from that. And right. I think that actually has become a really easy way for women to reach out to each other, because when you don't have a lot of time, you just want to really, you know, ping someone quickly, it can be very gratifying and rewarding. So I think the internet really has been huge. It's also been huge in the resurgence of knitting and a lot of different crafts, because you can talk about what you love. You can find other people who like what you love, and then you can create a community, and it's straightforward, you know, it's easy, and it can be really enriching.
Well, it's interesting because through the DivaCast, I stumbled upon some knitting bloggers and knitting podcasts, and I just really didn't realize that knitting was so, you know, so prevalent. And so it's neat because, you know, evidently these women get together and knit, and they might, if they're by themselves, they might sit there and listen to a podcast by a knitter. Or, you know, if they're with a group, sometimes they tend to play these recordings and then, you know, talk about it afterwards. So one of the things I saw on the cover of your book, there's a review from USA Today, and it says, "Like Steel Magnolias, set in Manhattan." And
right.
I saw somewhere that, is this book being made into a movie with Julia Roberts?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I mean,
that
Universal Studios optioned the movie rights to the Friday Night Knitting Club for Julia Roberts to produce and star, which is, it's amazing, you know, truly, absolutely. I mean, when you write a novel, you don't know what's going to happen with it, and especially a first novel, and you kind of want, you hope someone reads it, anybody,
right.
Other than your mom, you know, and your sister and stuff. And so, you know, when I get any email from any reader, honestly, it's really exciting. It's really thrilling. And it's also really neat to find out, you know, that the story resonated, you know, with Julia Roberts, and that, you know, she was drawn to it. So this is very nice. And, you know, I think it will make a great movie. I'm as excited as anyone to sort of sit down with a bucket of popcorn and watch it.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I think a sign of a good book is when you're reading it, that you can actually see it almost as a movie in your mind. And that's how I felt when I read it. And, you know, there's a mention of, you know, the redhead comes in with the jewel, you know,
right.
Yelling Julia Roberts. So how did she get her hands on it? Do you know the story about how that all folded?
Well, you know, it was sort of one of those, I mean, I guess this is how business gets done. And it was put in the hands of her people's people, I assume, and, you know, makes its way up. I actually have not met Julia Roberts and haven't spoken to her, so I don't know firsthand, but, you know, that seems to be certainly the case. And, you know, there's her company is one of the production companies, and so this is really neat. I mean, this is her thing, her show, and I mean, honestly, this is just, it's fabulous. I mean, you know, could you ask for anything more wonderful, right?
I know. That's so awesome. That's awesome. Well, Kate, tell us a little tidbit about you and what you do in your free time.
Well, I have less free time now than I've had in a long time. But, you know, I am a hobby knitter. I do like to knit little things. I'm just starting an afghan. This is one of my bigger projects because I tend to like things that I can do quickly. I'm a huge reader. I read a lot of books. And I have a dog, a Springer Spaniel, and I'm married.
Yeah.
So I spend a lot of time with my husband and Baxter, our little dog, and just a lot of time, actually. I make a priority to really connect with my friends. My friends are very important to me. Really, I just have I'm a complete homebody, loves to stay home. One of my favorite things about writing is I can get up and change into my pajamas and sit at my desk and do some writing and then throw on some jeans and go for a walk with Baxter. Yeah. I have a nice life, a quiet life, and, you know, I am like your next-door neighbor, honestly. I probably am your next-door neighbor.
That would be great. Well, your book offers so much. I especially appreciated what I call the gray pages. I don't know what you would call them, but these wonderful snippets of life lessons that you weaved into the knitting jargon, they're littered throughout your book. Is there one nugget that you'd like to leave us with today?
Well, you know, there's one, there's a little section in there where Dakota, Georgia Walker's daughter, is sharing with Kat her life philosophies that she's learned from her mother and that her mother has learned from her grandmother. And one of the phrases she says, you know, it's one of the rules of life, one of the life lessons she tells Kat, is be your own safety and security. And that is something that my older brother told me when I left home to go to university, to go to college. Mm-hmm. Be your own safety and security, Kate. That's what he said. And it was a great message to really stand on your own 2 feet, to be confident in yourself, and to also learn to take care of yourself. not to, you know, rely on other people in a way that made you dependent on them. I mean, of course, in relationships, you need to be vulnerable. You need to, you know, especially when you're married and I'm married, you know, you have someone else you can rely on. But he wasn't talking about that kind of thing. He was talking about, you know, don't look for someone else to solve your problems. Take personal responsibility. Be proud of yourself and stand up for yourself. And, you know, if there's one life philosophy I snuck into the Friday Night Knitting Club, it was that.
And you had, you know, that's interesting because I wrote that, I actually wrote that down. And you said there was an addendum to that rule of life number one, and it was every woman should have her own credit in her own name. So, yeah, I thought that was great advice.
Well, you know, years ago, when I was a teenager and in college, I was a lifeguard. And I worked with a woman who was undergoing a divorce. And she actually said that to me because she was undergoing that experience of not having credit in her own name, of having that experience of always being behind someone else.
Right.
And part of being a strong woman, part of being a person who can be in a relationship and be a full partner is being able to take care of yourself as well as taking care of everyone else, and also being able to have someone take care of you. You know, it's important to be vulnerable. All the characters, especially Georgia, need to learn how to lower their guard and you know, let other people into their lives. So, of course, life is a dance in this way, right? We have to be strong, and yet we also have to be vulnerable. This is what makes it so challenging. This is, you know, how we all make mistakes, but it's also how our lives become richer and fuller.
Yeah, right. So you feel, you know, you definitely, if you're talking about marriage or whatever the relationship is, that you're confident to stand on your own, but that, yes, you're willing to give up some of your independence to be together, but you still know that you can make it on your own.
Right. You know, writing strong female characters, you know, strong women. I mean, the women in my life are strong. And, you know, I just finished my second novel, Comfort Food, which is coming out in May.
Great.
You know, and again, you know, I wanted to write strong female characters because, you know, even though it's all new story, all new characters, you know, I think it's just very important that women in fiction, we be our strong selves. I mean,
right.
You know, I think this is very important. And sometimes in stories, the women aren't that. And so that's something that's very important to me. So in the Friday Night Knitting Club, all of the characters, they're flawed. I wanted them to be real. But I also wanted them to be strong, strong in the face of adversity, to have a lot of courage, because all the women I know, they have that.
Well, that's wonderful. I was going to ask you if there was going to be some sequel to that book, but I'm glad to hear that there's another one coming out in May. I'll have to look for that. That's exciting.
I'd be happy to, you know, do a sequel, actually. You know, when you finish a book, you need to take a break from characters, I think, because you spend so long with them. But then, you know, you begin to think about them a lot again. And these characters have not left my heart or my mind. I think about them often. I think about where their lives are. So, you know, if everything comes together in the right way, I would be thrilled to revisit their lives and share their stories again.
Well, tell the listeners how to get in touch with you. You were saying that you answer emails and you have a website, correct?
I do. I have katejacobs.com, and at that website at katejacobs.com, readers can find out. They can find out about Comfort Food. They can read the first chapter of you know, my new novel coming out in May. They can also email me, share their thoughts about Friday Night Knitting Club, which is now out in paperback, or they can email me and invite me actually to call into their book clubs. This is something I do that's a ton of fun for me.
I bet.
I telephone groups of women that they meet for their regular book club after they've read Friday Night Knitting Club. We talk about the plot and the characters, and, you know, they ask all sorts of questions. The other day I was talking to a woman's 10-year-old son, actually, who came into the room, who wants to be a writer. So he and I were talking about writing and things like that. So it's just something that's very neat. It's a, you know, Friday Night Knitting Club is this book about community. Very special for me to be invited to, you know, join, even for a little bit, readers, these women and their communities. This is a neat thing.
Yeah.
And it's very enriching for me personally to sort of hear their thoughts and, you know, their opinions and get to know them a little bit. We laugh a lot, actually, at these call-ins. So people can go to katejacobs.com and email me at kate@katejacobs.com. And sometimes people write, well, tell Kate this. And, of course, I am my own assistant. You know, I read my own email and answer my own email. So it takes me a little while because I'm hearing from lots of people. But, you know, I try to get in touch as much as I can.
That's wonderful. So Comfort Food is coming out in May. And did you say when the movie was coming out?
I'm not sure what the, you know, full schedule is on that, but I know it's wending its way through the Hollywood process. So that's good. And I just have a busy year ahead. I'm getting started working on a new book, which as I'm further along, I'm happy. I never talk about what I'm writing until it's pretty much done.
Right.
Otherwise, I find if you tell a story, if you talk a story out, it doesn't get to the page. So I have to keep it close to the vest, but I'm starting work on a new book this year.
Excellent. Well, the Friday Night Knitting Club will make readers laugh and cry and will hopefully encourage those who don't have female friendships to go out there and forge those friendships. And Kate, you're just truly a gifted writer, and I just thank you so much for spending this time with me today.
Thank you so much, Carrie.
All right. All the very best to you, Kate. Thank you. Wow, what an honor to speak with Kate Jacobs. She truly understands the power of female friendships. Please go to my website to hear an excerpt of the Friday Night Knitting Club read in her very own voice and enter your name via email, Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, at wordstomouth.com to possibly win a copy of her book. Keep your eyes peeled for the movie with Julia Roberts, and please feel free to leave me a voicemail with any feedback at 206-309-7318. I'd love to hear from you. Remember, Kate's next novel, Comfort Food, comes out May 6th, and she may be back to talk to us about that book as well. If you got to this show by clicking to listen, please visit wordstomouth.com. It's words with an S, T-O, mouth.com, for instructions on how to subscribe to the show so it's delivered directly to your computer. I wish you all the very best. Until next time, take good care.